Thanks, John. Do you have that reading in front of you? It's on the back of the notice sheet. You should also have a handout headed Knowing and Using Our Gifts. It'd be helpful to have that in front of you as well, both to follow now and also to think about later. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that all scripture is breathed out by you for our instruction, and we pray that you would reveal to each of us by your Spirit what we need to hear, and that you would change us, and that you would send us out to live, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and we pray it for your glory. Amen. Well, we're moving towards the end of a series of sermons called Equipped, thinking about the life of service as Christians, why we serve, and also some of the key truths that we need to remember as we do. Right at the start, back just after Easter, I asked you to think about various reasons people give for not serving at church or in a particular area. So here are a few things we might have come up with. Or that I've heard over the years. I'm not good enough, for whatever reason, or I don't know enough to be able to serve. I'd love to serve in this area at church, but I don't want to step on other people's toes. I don't know if I have permission. I don't know what I'm good at. I feel dry in my service. I don't have time to serve. I'm overcommitted already. I'm worried that if I offer to do something, I'll be left to do it on my own. There's just a few. Hopefully, some of those have been addressed already over the last few weeks. Others will be today as we look at these verses from Romans 12. So far in the series, we've thought about foundations for Christian service. At the moment, we're thinking about stepping out in service. We've thought about why we do it and how. And last week, we saw that Christian service involves every part of our lives. Today, we're coming to the issue that probably we all thought about when I said a few months ago, we're thinking about Christian service, the issue of spiritual gifts and abilities. And we're going to see that offering ourselves as living sacrifices in response to God's mercy for the sake of the body, we're to devotedly exercise our gifts. I don't know if that word devotedly exists, but it sounded good, so I've used it. I hope that's all right. So, first of all, offering ourselves as living sacrifices in response to God's mercy. Paul begins at verse 1, therefore. And when we see the word therefore, it's always good to ask, what's the therefore, therefore? What's it doing there? And Paul's actually referring back to the whole of the letter so far. As with many of his letters, the first half, or in this case, chapters 1 to 11, is about what God has done, God's mercy that we've been hearing about from Ben. And then the second half, or in this case, chapters 12 to 16, is about our response. And in chapters 1 to 11, Paul talks about lots of things God has done for his people. But I want to quickly mention three, which we've thought about through this series. So in the first three chapters, Paul describes how we've all sinned, how we've gone our own way. And he says that has devastating consequences, both now and for eternity, as God's right anger, his wrath, is poured out on sin. But at the end of chapter 3, Paul says that God has provided a way of being righteous in his sight and of not facing his right anger. And that is that Christ died in our place so that we could be justified. That is God looking at us just as if we'd never sinned because of our faith in Christ. That's the first thing. Then in chapter 6, Paul talks about our new identity. And Jim prayed about this. We saw last week in Colossians, didn't we, that he says, with Christ, we've died to sin. We've been raised to life. Our life is now hidden with Christ. Christ is our life. And he asks, why would we want to sin any longer? And he says, we don't have to sin any longer. And then in chapter 8, Paul talks about how we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who enables us to obey and who reassures us that we're God's children. So we're justified, we're adopted, we're new people, all because of God's work for us through Christ. And then Paul says, in view of God's mercies, as you look back on all of that, I urge you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. You'll probably be aware that that sacrifice language is mainly found in the Old Testament. And unlike God's Old Testament people, we no longer have to offer sacrifices to receive forgiveness. Jesus has paid the supreme sacrifice so that no more sacrifice is needed for sins. But Paul urges us, in response to all that God has done for us, to offer ourselves, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, ongoing, never-ending living sacrifices. To freely choose to keep surrendering ourselves every waking moment to God, to live for Him, for His priorities, for His glory. And someone might think, well, why on earth would we do that? We do it out of gratitude that we are justified, adopted, that we have a new life. We do it because it's fitting. We died to the old way of life. We live to a new way of life. We do it because in dying to self, we find life and joy and peace. We do it because we have the Spirit who enables us to do it. We do it because, as Paul says, it's our true and proper worship. How do we know what it looks like to offer ourselves as living sacrifices? Well, verse 2 tells us, it says, our minds are renewed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we listen to God's word, as His Spirit works in us, so we'll know and follow God's will rather than the world's will more and more. Our priorities will be less shaped by what the surrounding culture says and more by what God wants. So drawing these things together, as we reflect on God's mercies, as we realize who we are in Christ, we'll naturally want to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Not because it earns us anything, not because it gains us God's favor. Our offering is already holy and pleasing to God because of what Christ has done. But because we want to do it, the Spirit joins with our spirit in joyfully taking part in His service. I wonder if you've experienced something of that joy and that desire. Let's pray that we do more and more. And if you're with us today and you're not yet a Christian, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, this is where it all starts. Some people think being a Christian is about doing good things. It's not. It's about God's mercy revealed in Jesus, who's done these good things for us, and then responding to Him in trust and grateful service as our true and proper worship. And if you are someone who's visiting, or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I do encourage you, keep on coming. We'd love it when people join us to find out more about the Christian faith. Second, for the sake of the body, offering ourselves as living sacrifices in response to God's mercy for the sake of the body. Paul encourages us now to expand our focus from our individual lives to the whole church. And he does it by first encouraging us to have a right, humble opinion of ourselves. Verse 3. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. He says, you and I, we're in the same boat. Everything we have is a gift of God's mercy and grace. We've got nothing to boast about, nothing to make us think we're more important than anyone else. That's the faith that we share and that is distributed to us, that it's all of grace. So we mustn't think too highly of ourselves. We must look at ourselves with sober judgment. Well, that's quite a contrast with our culture, isn't it? It encourages us to think highly of ourselves. Remember that advert? Because you're worth it. Look out for yourself. Be yourself. Paul says, no, you don't need to do that. And it's not appropriate to do that because you have everything through grace, through God's free gift. So don't think in some way you're more important than your Christian brothers and sisters, maybe because of your job or the gifts and abilities God's given you. Don't think you're too good for a particular task in church life or too good for a particular church. Don't think your life and priorities are more important than the church's life and priorities. Also, there's an encouragement here, isn't there, for those of us who have a naturally low opinion of ourselves. Some of us might think, I'm no good. God can't use me. Well, Paul says you're exactly the kind of person God can use because you'll be trusting in him rather than yourself. And then Paul goes on to use the image of the body, verse 4. Find verse 4, there it is. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. He says, think of yourself. You have a body with ears and eyes and legs and fingers and arms and toes, and every member is part of the body, and every part is needed. And he says, in the same way, we are a body. In our case, the Anderby Church's body. He says, we belong to each other. We need each other. Every part of the body is needed. On Tuesday, our life group was looking at this, and we were struck by those words. Each member belongs to the others. We at the Anderby Churches belong to each other. Wonder if we realize that. Our gifts and skills belong to the church. Our presence belongs to the church. What an encouragement when we see each other on Sunday, how we miss each other when we're not together. There's a sense in which we make our decisions in partnership with the church, and our money belongs to the church. We belong to each other. So do we see ourselves as belonging to the body, as a hand or a foot or an eye, part of the body needed by the body? And if we do see ourselves that way, well, what difference does it make to our use of time, our use of our money, how we relate to others in the church, even how we use our gifts? Do we use them for the good of the church and for God's glory, or actually for ourselves? Which leads us on to the final few verses. Offering ourselves as living sacrifices in response to God's mercy for the sake of the body, devotedly exercising our gifts. Paul could go in all sorts of directions with the image of the body, couldn't he? But he applies it particularly to our gifts and abilities. So verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And the word translated gift is charisma. Paul uses the word in Romans 5 to mean the gift of Jesus, of God to us in Jesus. So it's sort of a broader use of the word. But here, like in 1 Corinthians 12, I think he means more specifically gifts and abilities given us by the Holy Spirit. It seems to me that Paul assumes that every Christian has at least one gift. He says we have different gifts. And it's worth making it clear that he's not necessarily talking about the obvious spiritual abilities like speaking in tongues or words of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gift of administration, which is vitally important in our age with so much of that needed. And here in Romans 12, he talks about teaching and serving and showing mercy. So I would generalize gifts, and this is my definition, so you can tell me it's wrong afterwards, but any gift or ability that God has given that enables you to serve the body of Christ in the power of the Spirit. Paul mentions a variety of gifts here. I've written a brief description at the end of the handout on the final page of each one. And it's not a complete list of gifts. There are other lists elsewhere. And I think even those lists in the Bible are not complete. There are others. But what's Paul's main point? Surely it's this. If God has given you a gift, Use it devotedly, diligently, faithfully, in order to build up the body, the church family. Because if we don't, if I don't, the body won't be built up. And so he says, verse 6, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Use our gifts devotedly. Before we apply, let me just direct you to the back of the handout. And I've briefly responded to several different questions. So I've mentioned about the gifts that Paul refers to. I've also just made a note about natural abilities. Are they included in what Paul means by spiritual gifts? How important is passion? Sometimes you'll hear you've got to be passionate about an area. Is that right? What about calling that some people talk about? So do have a read of those. And if you're in a life group, feel free to talk about those in your life group this week, or have a word with me or a warden sometime. Love to chat more about those things. So offering ourselves as living sacrifices in response to God's mercy for the sake of the body, we're to devotedly exercise our gifts. Let's just apply these things for a few minutes. And perhaps the biggest question some of us will be asking is, how can I know what my gifts are and how to serve? Some of us will know the answers to these questions. Some of us maybe don't. And one way you might start is by thinking about the acronym SHAPE. I've put on the handout what that stands for. So spiritual gifts, how has God gifted you? Heart, what are you passionate about? Abilities, what abilities do you have? Personality, what kind of person has God made you to be? Experience, what experiences do you have? And if you'd like to sort of think that through further, then there's a handout on the way out, on the table on the way out, that you're welcome to take at home with you. And it asks various questions about each of those areas to help just understand yourself a bit better. You might want to ask somebody else what they think. Often other people have a better idea of what we are good at than we do ourselves. Or you might find it helpful to meet with a warden or a life group leader or myself. Just to give you a taster of the kinds of things I'm thinking about, these are some of the conversations I've had over the years, things that people have said to me. I like talking to older people. I like working with children. I prefer to be behind the scenes. I'm good with spreadsheets. A couple of people have said that to me. It's great. I'm good at organizing. People seem to be encouraged after they've talked to me. I'm good at listening. I love understanding and speaking about God's word. I love sharing my faith. I think visually and often see things in pictures. I'm a visionary. I have big ideas of what God could do. I like to support others, to be a member of a team. And those might all be clues to our gifts and how God has fitted us to serve in the body. Moving on, what if someone else is already doing it? I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't know if I have permission. Well, the gifts are broad enough that there's always room for more. So administration, for example, the amount has grown enormously over the years. Serving, there are lots of ways to serve in the church and the community. As for having permission, on behalf of the warden team, I give you permission. You may need to run your idea by the church council or talk to the person who oversees a particular area, but please don't hold back because you think you don't have permission, because you do. What if I think I'm not good enough or I don't know enough? Well, remember what Paul says in Romans. It's all by grace. None of us is good enough. We are who we are. We receive all we have by grace. And then devotedly exercise your gift. The body need you to do that. It won't function properly if you don't. It may be someone's feeling I'm overcommitted already, or I'm feeling dry. If you're overcommitted in life, then I encourage you to think through your priorities, what you focus your time and efforts on. If in church, sadly this does sometimes happen, what causes it? Well, it could be that others aren't exercising their gifts and we have a personality that leads us to fill and try and fill the gaps. It may be we're not serving according to our gifting. It may be the church is doing things it shouldn't be doing. So if you're feeling like that, I'd encourage you to speak to a warden or to me or a life group leader. We'd love to hear about that. What about I'm worried that if I offer to do something, I'll be left to do it on my own. There's an easy solution to that one. So just recently, in terms of Hull 2030, I've had to say, I'm happy to lead it, but only if there's a team to work with. And say that. I'm happy to do this, but I need a team. What about, I can't do anything because of my stage of life? There will be some people who feel they can't serve the church anymore. Maybe they're too frail, too limited. But can I encourage you, can do the most important thing, which is to pray. Pray through the monthly prayer diary. Pray through the names list. Bring the body before God in prayer. Well, before the final application, remember grace. Romans 12:1 again. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We're still justified. We're still a child of God. We still have the spirit of adoption. There's a sense in which we need to keep coming back to sermon 2 of this series. You probably can't remember what sermon 2 was, but it was that we are God's children. Through faith, God's deeply loved children, fully known, fully loved, fully accepted forever. We need to keep coming back to that. So finally, in the light of all that's been said, question that one of the wardens said I should finish this sermon with, so I'll leave it in their hands. What might God be asking you to do? Just pause for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you again for your great mercies to us. Pray that we'd never move on from being grateful and living joyful lives as your children. And I pray that you'd help each one of us to see, to know that what you are calling us to. And help us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices for your glory. Amen.